The disciples spent 3.5 years hanging out with Jesus, which is pretty cool, right? I mean, who wouldn't want to hang out with Jesus? And then he was crucified, and right after his death, what did the disciples do? Peter and the boys went back to fishing. Amen. And then something happened. He was resurrected, and he kept showing himself to them. And just before he was ascended back into heaven, the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which," he said, "you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" See, he told them to come together, and he told them to wait for the promise. And then the Holy Spirit showed up in chapter 8. He said, "You shall receive power." Power is an interesting thing. Power can be dangerous, or power can be a blessing. Amen? And so we have to decide, what are we going to do with the power? And then chapter 2, it says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." I'm so desperate to see a move of God like what these guys experienced. Mike and I were talking. Was it at men's meeting or was it Saturday morning? It doesn't matter. And we were talking about the Shekinah glory of God, the manifest presence of God, and how he desperately wants to see that. And you know, I desperately want to see that. And these guys saw that. They saw the cloven tongues of fire. They heard the sound of a mighty rushing wind. This phrase, "with one accord," is an interesting phrase. And it says in the footnote, what it means is being unanimous, having mutual consent, being in agreement, having group unity. Having group unity. That means we're all united. We're all united. They had group unity, having one mind and one purpose. What is your purpose? You ever ask yourself that? Why am I even here? What is my purpose? I think first and foremost, our purpose is to pray and to fellowship with the Lord. That's our purpose. He's the commander in chief. He's the one that's giving our direction and marching orders. See, when you're in the military, you don't get to choose what you do. You get to submit to somebody that tells you what to do. And church, we're in the army of God. And he says that we're to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit, and he's given that to us. We're to be in one mind and have one purpose. The disciples had an intellectual unanimity, and they had an emotional report and volitional agreement in the newly founded church. In each of its occurrences, to be in one accord shows a harmony leading to action. A harmony leading to action. I think by and large, our church is harmonious. What I mean by that is there's not a bunch of little isms and schisms. There's probably some. There's probably some with 145, 100 and whatever. There's probably some. But can I tell you something? The majority rules. Amen? The majority rules. And so as we, as God's people, if we can learn how, even in the face of maybe some isms or schisms, in the face of that, if we can learn how to stay sweet, if we can learn how to stay Christ-like, if we can learn how to stay under the anointing. Because how many of you know that the anointing, how many of you have heard it said that the anointing breaks the yokes of bondage? How many of you heard that? Raise your hand. I heard that the anointing breaks the yokes of bondage. Well, good. I'm glad there's a lot of you because I won't clear that up for you. Because that's really not what it says. It destroys the yokes of bondage. There's a difference between something being broken and something being destroyed. I'm just country boy enough that if something's broke, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to be able to fix it. But if something's destroyed, the chances of us being able to fix something that's been destroyed are slim. And so when we walk under and in the anointing, we carry something of the presence of God in us and on us, so that when those kinds of, here's the best thing that you can do. If Mike comes and says, "Listen, I need to talk to you about Tim. He's got, you know, some problems." And, "Oh, really?" And I'm like, "Well, what is it?" See, I just begin to feed what he's got going on. But if he comes to me and says, "Listen, I got to talk to you about Tim. He's got some..." And I say, "Well, why don't we just go talk to him together?" "Well, let's just go talk to him." All of a sudden, I'm not near as interested in talking about Tim. Or Ray, or Dennis, or, you know. I remember one time when I was youth pastoring in Coos Bay, and some of the youth were you know how teenagers can be. I mean, you know, they're you know, they got their little groups, you know, and stuff. And if somebody doesn't fit in a group, well, where do you, me. And so I just went out, and there was a creek that kind of ran beside the church, and I went out there, and I got a whole bucket full of the biggest rocks that I could find. Good throwing rocks. I just carried them up to the front of the church and put them on the altar, and I said, "Okay." Because I knew about everything that was going on, and I started calling stuff out, and I said, "Whoever in here is without sin, just, you know, go ahead and come and get a rock, and you can cast the first stone," because the Bible says, "Ye who are without sin, cast the first stone." I said, "Come and get you one." Boy, it got quiet. It got quiet. See, if we will do our part to remove the strife. "Well, Pastor, I'm not even involved in the strife." No, you're probably not. But if you put a stop to what's being done, if you say, "Listen, let's just go talk to that person." Can I just tell you this much? Let me just tell you this. I don't like prayer chains at all. I don't like them. I'll probably get letters for this. I don't like them because oftentimes it's just a way to feed individuals information.
"What did you hear about this?"
You know what? Here's another thing. If you're a part of our prayer chain, there's 20 people on our prayer chain. When you send out a prayer request, which, by the way, all of them are supposed to go through my wife. All of them. But we just get on there and put our things on there, and they're all supposed to go through her. I'm just sharing with you some protocol. If you're a part of the prayer chain and you, Tammy sends out a text, pray for Mike. He's losing his hair.
I love you, man.
Yeah. 20 people start responding. And your phone's going beep, 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 beep. I mean, whatever your phone does. And some people go to bed at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock at night. Some people don't go to bed till 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and they're like, haven't had their phone for an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours, 5 hours. And all of a sudden, they go pick up their phone. Oh, Marcia put a crappy request on there. I should respond to that. So at 3 o'clock in the morning. And everybody's phone starts going off. Here's what my suggestion is. My suggestion is, if you're part of the prayer chain, we believe you pray. It's a great concept. You don't have to show us that you can pray. I believe you can. So just say, oh, pray for pastor. Okay. Lord, I just lift pastor to you right now. Or I just, that's all you got to do. You just, in the quietness of your own house, we don't have to tell everybody, I'm praying. Some people put some prayers on there, man. And that's great. I'm not down in our prayer chain. I'm just saying there needs to be some other protocol. In my opinion, I'm not in charge of it. My wife is, so I'm just, you know, the pastor. I wouldn't, in my opinion, I don't think we need to respond at all. Everybody's getting a prayer request. We've established that over a few years now. So we know you're getting them. And we know that Michelle and Anthony have Android phones that can't handle 20 people at a time. And so when they answer, their answer goes to a whole different text group because they can only handle 19 people because it's an Android phone. They can't handle a 20 grouper. Yeah, because you don't ever turn it on. Here's your sign. So now, you know, and it was a frustration. I mean, I worked on it. You worked on it. Everybody was working on his phone, trying to get his phone to work. Wouldn't work. We'd send it to, and here's what happened. Every time it would go wrong, three or four people would send the same message. Don't do it. So when you get the prayer, what did I tell you? Listen, Anthony, we value you being a part of our prayer team. So listen, when you get the prayer request, I said, just pray. Just read your phone, put it down, and begin to pray. And nobody's getting bothered. Nobody's phones are going off. I'm telling you, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Helped you right there. Listen, the Bible says that we need to be praying one for another. I'm not saying we're not to be doing that. No? Nope. 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 Just say no. Just pray. Lord, whatever the case is, prayer changes things. We got to learn, church, how to be in one mind and in one accord. We got to learn how to be in unity. We've got to learn how to stop the isms and the schisms. Amen. We got to learn how to take the bull by the horn. And number two, and suddenly there came a sound of from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, as of fire, and one sat on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And Peter, loud mouth, obnoxious Peter, went out and he began to preach, filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. And 3,000 souls came to Jesus in that day. Why? Because they were, what? Because they didn't have cell phones. That's exactly right. What? It's my spiritual Rolodex right there. The reason why, church, is because they were in one mind and they were in one accord and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And so tonight I had all my notes and Stad Michelle ready to go, and I said, nix the notes. We're going somewhere different. But I really believe that that's the message. We got to learn how to put our little differences aside. We got to learn how to be forgiving of one another. We got to learn how to, we need to learn how to be gardeners. You know what a gardener does? A gardener plucks up the weeds. He doesn't let roots of bitterness begin to grow in the soil. He takes care of it. He pulls those weeds out and deals with them. We gotta be that way, church. We gotta be big enough in the Lord to say, listen, I'm not gonna buy into your negative stuff. I'm not gonna sit and lend an ear to your talking about this one or that one. I'm not gonna do it. And when we begin to do that in a loving, kind way, health will come to the church. That stuff will stop. When people don't get an audience, who are they going to share it with? What's the point in sharing if I don't have an audience? Here's what I've learned in however many years of ministry. I don't even know. Well, that's what I know. Nothing. It's gone. What? Somewhere in there, yeah. It's a long time. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. But I know this, that I want the presence of the Lord in every meeting that we are in. I want the presence of the Lord. I want to see Him move. I want to see Myrtle Creek flocking either to this church or other churches in this area where the gospel's being preached. I don't necessarily care that they come to this church. I'd like for them to, but I just want them to get in church. I just want people to get saved and get filled with the Holy Ghost and see Myrtle Creek set free by the power of the Holy Spirit. Sir. Oh, bless your heart. Well, Kathy, come to the piano. Thank you, Lord. Is that okay if I just share my heart like that? Well, that's true. But that's where my heart is. It's sure.
I used to be in the Navy, and as part of being in the military, you travel around a bunch. And the best part about that, other than seeing all the new places, is that you don't have to pay for anything. They give you money for, and they give you a place to stay, they give you food to eat, they give you a plane to get where you're going, or a boat, or however. The best part is, and this is from when you were saying about the, I can't remember, something about the military. Yeah. But, you just listen to the commander of, you know, your boss basically say, you're going to be going to Thailand in about a month, so pack your bags. Oh, yes, sir. No, it's a huge relief that a lot of people, they try to plan these things on their own. They try to plan out their life. What they don't see coming really derails them. It could be anything. It could be like, you know, a medical procedure that comes up or whatever, just derails them from their plans in life. I planned on doing 20 years in the military. God had other plans. And all I have to do is say, yes, sir. And he's the one who has to, he's the one who has the plane ride lined up. He's the one who has the hotel, the restaurants that I'll eat at, the places I'll go, the job for me to do. And he's the one who says, go. And all I have to do is say, yes, sir.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, buddy. Thank you, buddy. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Listen, I'm gonna just invite you to come and spend a couple of minutes here at these altars. I'm gonna pray, and if you got to go home, I know some of you have to get up early in the morning and go to work, and so I just want to pray bring this to a close so that they can go if they need to. But the rest of us, if we're not in a hurry and want to spend some time, I think it'd be valuable for us. Amen. Father, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you that you have created a place where we can develop an appetite, a hunger for more of you, Lord. And I just pray, Father God, today that Lord, you would teach us to pray. Lord, the disciples asked Jesus, teach us to pray. And he began to teach them. And he began to pray, and they watched how he prayed. And so, Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would begin to teach us to pray, how to get a hold of the altar, how to intercede, how to be in one mind and how to be in one accord for your glory and for your honor. Now, Father, I just pray you bring us back together, Lord, whether it's Tuesday night or Wednesday night or Thursday morning or Friday night. God, I pray you bring us back together very soon. Lord, that we could come again in one mind and in one accord and be in your presence of Jehovah. And so, Lord, I just want to thank you for this morning. I thank you for tonight. I thank you for a brand new week that you've got laid out ahead of us. Lord, help us to walk in your ways as we walk in this new week. And Lord, that we'd be careful to listen to your voice and do those things that you call us to do. And I thank you for it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. God bless you. If you got to go, God bless you. If not, come and spend some time at these altars. Amen.